declare the meeting open. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. I take the opportunity to advise all persons in attendance that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website, technology permitting. And I've just had a message from the control tower. So far, so good. The elected members' declaration of interest. Are there any matters on the agenda for which elected members think they might have a conflict of interest? There being none, I have a matter that I'd like to raise. During the week, the Deputy Mayor approached me with a complaint that had been made against the Mayor by Councillor Kerry. It sought a public apology for offence caused at the last General Council meeting. Since a public apology was sought, I thought this was the first appropriate opportunity to address the issues. There were two issues raised by Councillor Kerry. One was the mispronunciation of his name. I did indeed mispronounce his name. There was a lot happening at the Chamber in the time. I was trying to keep track of the various positions in relation to conflict of interest. I called on Councillor Kerry, and in doing so I mispronounced his name. For that I apologise. I reject the allegation that it was deliberate. It was a tongue-tied moment. It was a mistake. But I do apologise for any offence caused to him for mispronouncing his name. The second allegation that Councillor Kerry makes is that offence was caused to him by the Mayor in the course of the conflict of interest discussion. And because I'm not sure what that would be, I'll have to ask Councillor Kerry. But Councillor Kerry, first of all, do you accept my apology in relation to your name? Thank you. Can you be more specific about your complaint regarding offence caused in the course of the conflict of interest debate?
Look, in a nutshell, I simply asked Ms. McKenzie, as Manager of Governance, to give us an opinion in relation to the footpath issue. And you sort of cut, you know, I'm not quite, I can't even recall exactly what you said.
But it was quite.
You were trying to stop me from talking, you know, getting advice from Ms. McKenzie over the issue.
Well, I'd just like to clarify, it certainly wouldn't be my intent to stop elected members getting advice in the course of the meeting within reason. I do recall that the conflict of interest issues, when they arose, were, or it was a topic that generated a lot of discussion. There was, Ms. McKenzie did contribute at times to the debate. A number of elected members had points to make about it. So I can assure Councillor Kerry that there was no intention to prevent him from seeking the advice of staff. It may be that I cut him off in the course of him making his point. I will do that with a number of members with equanimity, not picking anyone out, because I have the goal of driving the debate forward, and once a person seems to have expressed their point, often I will direct the debate to move on, or advice to be sought, motions to be moved, etc. So I am sorry if offence was taken. Certainly none was intended. I don't know that I can take that any further. But Councillor Kerry, if you're still offended, I would invite you to speak to the Governor, Governance Manager, between meetings, and you can take further steps if you wish. Did you want to say anything more before we move on? Thank you. Right, we're looking for someone to confirm the minutes. Just before a motion is moved, I note that a correction has already been made by staff, but it won't be in front of members quite yet. It is simply a clarification that Councillor Appleby entered the meeting at 6:32 rather than being there the moment that the meeting began. And Councillor Appleby, in all honesty, has come forward and pointed that out. And I see no reason why a motion shouldn't be moved with that clarification included. Anyone to move? Move Councillor Pryor. The minutes be confirmed. Second of Councillor Appleby.
I'll just say we were both delayed, my co-councillor and I, by the ward briefing. That's why. And it wasn't picked up.
That's in order. Thank you for clarifying that, Councillor Appleby. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. With the meeting's indulgence, I see that the minutes have recorded that the Mayor provided a public apology to Councillor Kerry regarding the conflict of interest item. I think that is somewhat of a red herring. It would perhaps be more accurate to say regarding, and I would suggest that we put in there accidental mispronunciation of Councillor Kerry's surname, regarding the accidental mispronunciation of Councillor Kerry's surname at the General Council meeting held on 12th April 2016.
Something like that.
Looking around the table, are members happy with that as an accurate record? Councillor Gard, point of order?
Yeah, just a point of order. I just feel, and I haven't had any involvement in this matter whatsoever, that it may be best to say regarding the mispronunciation rather than accidental, and then at the end put that the explanation was that it was accidental.
Yes.
I throw that to Councillor Kerry and yourself as well.
I think that probably brings the Mayor's motivation into question somewhat, but it's a fair point to make. It's certainly objective.
Well,
so I'm happy to include that.
In that instance, it then remains to offset that question if you feel that way.
Well, so just helping staff here, if we say, delete the word accidental from where it appears, and I'm suggesting that we take out the conflict of interest item and just say the General Council meeting held. A new sentence that the Mayor stated that the mispronunciation was accidental.
And that was accepted by Councillor Kerry.
The apology was accepted. Excellent. Now, we carried the motion in relation to the minutes. In relation to reports, perhaps just before moving those motions, a couple of points to note. I appreciate Councillor Telfer's report on her attendance at the Energy Efficiency and Sustainability Conference. That's worth looking at. I also note that I attended the ordinary general meeting of the Local Government Association on Friday, 15th of April. The motion that went up to council went up to the LGA from council regarding the proposed abolition of the NRM levy. It was not passed as such, but an amended version of it was passed, whereby the LGA stated its position is that it rejects the current form of collection of the NRM levy. In other words, that it shouldn't be collected with rates, and we shouldn't be the tax collectors. That was the effect of the debate. So Marion, was favoured in that motion. The mayor caused a minor controversy. There was a motion noting the reports on the insurance schemes, run separately from, but under the influence of the LGA, and I pointed out that, I asked a question, in fact, about the steps taken to address the scandalous deficiencies pointed out by the Auditor General in his report of September last year, and my interpretation of the answer was that not much had been done to address the issues up to this point, but I was pleased to note that work is proceeding to develop the scope of an expression of interest for alternative insurance providers, which has the potential to save money for all councils. The mayor further caused controversy when a motion was moved asking the LGA to investigate how local government in South Australia can provide support for people who suffer the impact of domestic violence. So I don't think anyone expected me to speak against the motion, but I did, and I suggested it was as bad a time as any to make the point I felt needed to be made, and that was that if the local government sector seeks the respect of state and federal levels of government, that the best thing we can do is to do what we do well in our jurisdiction, and certainly not to take on additional jurisdictional activities where there are already extensive agencies at state or federal level with the expertise and the funding to address any number of social issues. I mean, every one of us feels strongly about domestic violence, child abuse, climate change, whether it's to welcome refugees or stop refugees, but I was making a plea to other mayors to confine the LGA's activities to those items which we would traditionally associate with local government. And just to give you an example, there were other motions which went up to this ordinary general meeting calling on the LGA to help rewrite the Australian Constitution. Now, it didn't get anywhere, and it wasn't moved with any great passion by Mayor Traynor, but it was really a plea, and it did have some support to suggest that we should do what we do well, and some things, no matter how strongly we feel, we just have to leave to others who are all already experienced and well resourced to address the issues. I can use discretion. If anyone wants to comment briefly on any of that report, it's probably an appropriate way to go. Councillor Gard?
Question, Your Worship. Just I wondered if you had any comment regarding your meeting with the Shadow Finance Minister, Tony Burke, on the 6th of April.
The meeting with the Shadow Finance Minister, Tony Burke, was in relation to the looming federal election and assistance which might be provided to the City of Marion with some of our endeavours. I probably can't say too much because obviously it was just the beginning of a discussion, and it's a discussion that I'm having in a bipartisan way with anyone who will listen and who might be able to offer us substantial funding for some of our projects. But it was significant that I was able to have that meeting.
Yeah, thank you.
Councillor Valescu.
Yes, Your Worship, I just wanted to thank Ms. Zarek for her assistance last week with putting together my report. I did provide some information that was unclear, and I just wanted to correct that the two items for the 18th of April to do with Flinders University and the art exhibition were actually on the 18th of March.
So when the motions are moved, that change could be incorporated?
Yes, please. Yep.
Thank you. Any other quick comments, Councillor Hull?
Mayor Hannah, I'm glad to see you attended the function in our ward, being the Christ the King School Faith. I do know that the principal was looking forward to meeting you. If you didn't have the opportunity to do that at that function, maybe take time in the near future to touch base with her.
Just a suggestion.
In terms of both the Deputy Mayor and Mayor's reports, both of them make reference to meeting local political candidates. I'd like to know more about that and what the particular salient points were in regards to the endeavours of the City of Marion.
Yes, I mean, the topics change from time to time, but certainly I can't speak for other councillors or the Deputy Mayor, but certainly it's at least a monthly occurrence normally that I'll meet with one or other political candidate or MP. Sometimes it's organised, sometimes it's incidental at a public activity, and we'll discuss council projects. At the moment, for example, there are a series of meetings being booked with federal candidates and MPs regarding the Oaklands Crossing. I've also had a number of discussions with relevant candidates and MPs regarding the Edwardstown project, and I've had some preliminary discussions with candidates regarding the Mitchell Park project, but only very, very, very conscious that council hasn't determined a position, and so I'm always careful in those situations not to disclose or suggest anything too much. So look, the topics change from time to time. We don't put down a list of every meeting and every topic. Sometimes the members of parliament will disclose something confidentially, but usually it's about current topics of the time. Current projects of the council, I suppose. All right. Can I have someone to?
Yeah, just want to clarify that my comment at the bottom of my reports, my request was basically copied what was with the mayor's report, but for me, I do have meetings with residents and various groups and obviously council staff and the CEO. I don't go and meet with MPs generally or political candidates. I feel more that's the topic. That's more the mayor's prerogative. So that was just copied inadvertently.
Yes, I think what's happened is that I've developed a tagline for the report with some justification, and on this occasion at least it's been copied for the Deputy Mayor's report, but not necessarily as applicable. Someone to move then? Councillor Gard,
that the reports be accepted,
and that's seconded. Councillor Appleby.
Perhaps with an amendment to the bottom of Councillor Valescu's report then.
Should we just drop that whole tag?
Just the MPs and political candidates, please.
Yeah, if we could. Well, if the mover is prepared to accept that and no one objects, then we'll make that change in the motion, so it doesn't have to be an amendment as such, just to keep it a bit cleaner. If you're okay with that, Councillor Appleby, as well, gets the job done. And I'll just make sure that staff understand what we're doing. No, that's fine. All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now deputations. We do have one. Is it Hoffert? Mr. Hoffert would like to address us, and I advise members that some of the information he proposes to discuss would be commercial in confidence information concerning his business. He's the operator of the Signatures Cafe at the Marion Cultural Centre. He wants to report to us about that. So it may be appropriate to move a motion that people other than certain defined people be excluded from the meeting, because that is a valid reason under the Local Government Act. Do we have staff prepared?
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Just before I get to the point of order, I just want to ask, have staff prepared a possible motion for that? They have. But before I accept a motion, I'll take the point of order.
This has been well discussed by elected members and in fact, gave you direction that we were to have our reports. The elected members will have their reports. That hasn't been carried through.
In terms of communications, as I understand it, there are two options for members. They can lodge a written report, and it would appear in the minutes along with the mayor, deputy mayor, etc. That's one option. Councillor Telfer often takes advantage of that option. The other option is a periodic opportunity for a verbal report to council. That is slated to take place on the second council meeting of a month. When it happens, it's one point four of the procedures at council meetings that's been adopted. An elected member has the right to speak for up to 3 minutes in the second meeting of council during the months of February, April, June, August, October, and a single December meeting. What I propose to do is, it doesn't say when.
Well, it's been banished from the agenda items. That's a concern to me, Mr.
I think that is a fair point of order. It should be on the agenda for this meeting. It's been done under point six, so staff are telling me that's the tradition to do it at this stage. So do you want to hear Mr. Hoppett, or do you want to send him
if
back to the gallery?
If we can do it after the presentation, that's in order, that's okay, as long as we can do it.
All right, I just thought that now that Mr. Hoffett's there, ready to give his report, it might be better, rather than waiting half an hour for elected members to give their verbal reports. So, with the leave of the meeting, I'll vary the agenda so that we hear from Mr. Hoppett and then return to verbal reports from members in this very busy meeting schedule. Councillor Blescu?
To move, we move into confidence.
According to the words which are up on the screen, that names certain people who may remain in the meeting and asks others to leave. So is that seconded? Councillor Byram, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried by a majority. Seconded, Councillor Byram. So, folks, this is a 5-minute deputation, and after that, public will be invited back into the meeting. So we'll turn the microphones off, Mr. Hoffert, and then you can report once the door's closed.
Your Worship, if I may check with you regarding our visit on your behalf and the CEO's behalf to the Light Rail Summit. How long have I got? A minute?
2 minutes 45.
Oh. Right. No. Please. I have circulated to the CEO and to the Mayor a summary of the function at the Town Hall last week, which Councillor Westwood and I attended. It was a very enlightening summit. There were some 5 or 6 excellent guest speakers, highly qualified, all with experience in the light rail elements, primarily in the eastern states, but also overseas. The cities affected were particularly Gold Coast and Sydney that I'm talking about there, but to some extent elsewhere. I think it's important when we come to see the motion that is coming our way from the Town Hall that we at least register an interest in supporting light rail for Adelaide. This is a little baby that is going to grow into a very big adult one day in this metropolis. This is just the beginning, but even in the early stages, our residents of the City of Marion will most definitely benefit, not whilst they're in the City of Marion, but certainly beyond. And I think lifestyle is not just restricted to our boundaries, and it shouldn't be. So from the point of view of why light rail and not something else, the main point that came out of it was that business development clusters enormously around light rail developments, and again there will be indirect rub-off for us. I think probably our own rail extension is an example of how that might happen in our area. There's also the matter of funding from the parties that stand to benefit commercially from light rail, and this is a practice that is only in its infancy in most states. And I asked a question of the floor at the end of the meeting as to whether people about the size of Westfield ever show interest in putting in funding for this form of infrastructure in particular, but also other forms, and I was thinking overpasses at the time. So there's many wheels within wheels, if you'll excuse the pun. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to the motion, I'm looking forward to further discussion on the floor, but I did find that it was a very promising and enlightening exercise.
Councillor Appleby. Councillor Pilescu. Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, I want to just mention Anzac Day yesterday and to commend the communities within the City of Marion who held some most commendable dawn services and activities throughout the day yesterday, and the activities that saw thousands of people within the community attending. And yes, we definitely have a good reputation with our community groups, the RSL and the Lions at Howlett Cove, so I wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Right. Yes, I'd like to make a comment on the meeting that we had with the Lord Mayor and co. The one unfortunate factor that stuck out to me at the time is that it does seem that it could be, or the project could be seen as being city-centric. And what I'm really suspecting is that there may be quite a bit of pressure from some of their constituents who want business to be funneled into the city. Now, of course, I support the idea of light rail. That's admirable, and it would be useful. And if I may mention that Councillor Gard actually suggested at one stage that perhaps we could have some crosslinks around the city to join the proposed light rail spokes that come into the city. And that was actually thought, almost put down, not quite, but till very, very much later. I think that really that the project is fairly city-centric in for commercial reasons, in particular retail, probably. But it certainly is a good idea. The one little point that I have about it is that it's really against modern trends in planning, as far as I know, in that having a central city such as Adelaide, the actual centre, serving all the people in the Greater Adelaide area, we actually should be developing the regional areas such as Marion and down south and the other major areas, North Elizabeth, etc., so that we have smaller areas to deal with, and that seems to be the modern way to have people living in smaller areas and live most of their lives, including work, in small areas, and not be traipsing off into the city with long trips, etc. So transport is supposed to be kept to a minimum in the future. Anyway, I do generally support the idea of examining the idea of light rail and whether this project should continue. And I would be quite interested, if you were not going in again, to attend another meeting, the coming meeting of that group. Thank you.
Well, of course, it may have all been started by the inspiration and vision of former councillor and alderman Clem Senior, who proposed the monorail from Westfield up to Flinders, I think. I can add to my earlier report that I did meet up with Clem and Barbara during last week. They're in what's called an old folks home now, and although Clem's physical health is creating limitations, his mind is still sharp. Councillor Holt, please, would like to hear your report.
Thank you. I too would like to mention the dawn service. I went to the Halley Cove dawn service myself with my daughter, and I'm glad I went down. It was a different sort of dawn service, quite a pleasing experience. I might never go back because it means I've got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning rather than 4:30. So, well done. And the thing is, where did those people go before there was the amenity to do it? They either didn't go to a dawn service or they had to travel quite a long way to get to one. So full marks to that. Nathan Pryor and myself, and the mayor was there briefly, went to the Oaklands Estate annual barbecue. They are happy with the new toilet block that's under construction. We do need to somehow get some power connected, so any suggestions about that would be very much welcome. We've talked about Kenny and other sources, but we'll get there. They also certainly mentioned the roundhouse, and that's getting some profile now, as it should, because the argument with that has been circular for too long, pardon the pun. And really, we need to know whether to renovate or detonate that building. Hopefully it'll be renovated. My personal view is, in keeping with the community down there, they want to keep that building and see it used for a good purpose. The Oaklands Crossing, full marks to council administration with that campaign, Mr. Clark and company. That's going really well. We've got 1,606 likes on that Facebook site. My prediction is we'll overtake the council's website likes before long. It is the elephant in the room for this council. And on that note, Mr. Mayor, I think that this is city-centric. Our city, not the city of Adelaide, not the city of West Torrens or Unley. This is about our city, not anybody else's city, Mr. Mayor. I'm not interested in what Mayor Traynor thinks or Mayor Klein. This is all about us. And with a minute amount of money in the state budget for infrastructure, we are competing with them. That $200 million could build the tram line to the city, to the airport. That's what Mayor Traynor wants. He does not want us to succeed. It's all about him and it's all about Mayor Klein. I'm ignoring those fellows. They serve their city well. I intend to serve mine well as well.
All right, well, that concludes the elected members' reports. Don't need a motion or anything for that, do we? Then, having already dealt with the deputation, we look to committee recommendations, starting on page 27. I'll just make a comment in relation to the Urban Planning Committee, and a question for that I'll ask rhetorically. Since at that Urban Planning Committee meeting, the
length and structure and nature of a statement of intent for a plan amendment was finally revealed to members, the suggestion arose that a draft statement of intent could have been drafted prior to that Urban Planning Committee meeting. And it's just something for staff to consider. But anyway, we've got a motion before us to confirm the minutes. Moved Councillor Pryor. Did you wish to? Seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. In relation to the minutes of the Strategy Committee, motion to confirm the minutes, Councillor Valescu. Moved. Seconded Councillor Gard. Do you wish to speak? Go ahead.
There was just a correction I needed to make, Your Worship. I wasn't present at that meeting. I think I'm put down as present for that one. Would that be retracted? But other than that, I can't actually move accordingly.
I think that any councillor can still move the motion, but with the leave of the meeting, the mover would accept the motion in an amended form, which doesn't include the attendance of Councillor Gard. Councillor Valescu, that's all right? And no objection. Then so the motion was actually moved with that notation. All right, all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. We have on page 41 the issue of tennis and netball courts. We know we want to do something about it, but it's not entirely sure what. Now, look, members, I was going to suggest with this one, I know Councillor Telfer was keen to move, I just want to put the option there because there are a couple of possible approaches to this. Do you want a discussion without standing orders, or do you want to just deal with a motion? In other words, do you want to have a discussion about what sort of motion to put forward, or do you want to just test the waters with a motion? Just before I accept a motion, Councillor Hull, what would you like to? Well, it's up to you, members. Well, let's test the water with that procedural motion, suspending standing orders. Is that seconded? Second, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against. That's carried by a majority. Now, Councillor Telfer, you have first go, because I know that you have formulated a motion. I appreciate your preparation. But I suppose that there are two ways of going about it. We could either go into detail tonight and then discuss what that detail should be, or the staff recommendation, and I'm not saying exactly as recommended, but the other option is to give the whole thing to staff to go away and bring something back with whatever time frame. So that's the sort of, that's what I mean by which sort of motion do we want to put forward. But Councillor Telfer, please go ahead.
In discussing this in general discussion, what's been put up to us is not satisfactory. To wait 2 years to get tennis and sporting lists, when we have in the report a whole lot of major facilities already in our facilities report that we are committed to, and we know we have committed groups. So we have groups like Six Courts at Warradale or Six Courts at South Bank. We know those. We also have in our reports a whole long list of upgraded single or double courts. The dispute is around three or four. I think it is terrible for us to go to Tennis Australia and Netball Australia and go to all the clubs and ask them to wish, and then we'll say we can't afford it 2 years later. We've already done this for 5 years. There is a list of courts, about 50. That's two over what you need for 90,000. There is a list, obvious in the report, of 20 courts that are very obvious, and there may be three that you could say Etzer Park covers, because most games are played in the South Parklands. So I'm suggesting that we defer and that we actually look at this list in our ward briefing and that we come back in a month's time. And if we're three courts out, we can leave those courts a year, but let's get on with those people that have groups that have funding and want to do something now. Yeah, I've got a tangible list, and people can take in and out, pull it around, but in the end, there will be a few small changes, I think.
Mr. Mayor, I have a counter-argument to Councillor Telfer, and there is one case in question in my ward, being the Warradale Tennis Club. Yep. I've been to meetings with them, along with Council staff, with Sean, with Tennis Australia, Tennis South Australia, they were all there, and it was really enriching to have those people there. What I'm getting at is, I really think that the staff are correct in seeking a strategic overview of our city and allow those peak bodies to give guidance to the clubs to say, look, in the long term, this really is in your best interest. And I think we're missing an opportunity by not allowing the staff administration through to do that, because, Yep.
Decision and no work done on it. I'm really disappointed with the way this has been dealt with, and I'm disappointed with that motion that's before us tonight. I've had a look at the list that Councillor Telfer is looking at, and it makes complete sense. We're still slightly over on tennis courts. When we first looked at tennis about 18 months ago, Sean O'Brien told us that SA Tennis did not want a bar of making decisions which clubs were going and not. resonates. So why are we going back to the same people that said, no, we're not helping you, that's your job? In January, we were asked to make a decision at ward level. Certainly the four councillors in the south gave a positive indication. We even indicated three courts to give up that we didn't have to, because we're actually undersupplied with tennis courts. I had an expectation that the same had been done at every ward briefing. Why we're still going round in circles and hitting the ball forwards and backwards is not acceptable. And I think we owe the people a decision on this. We've got clubs that are not getting resurfaced. We get clubs that are struggling, and yet we're still talking about it. So the clubs we've got that are actually quite vibrant are now suffering through indecision.
Thank you, Worship. Mine's just a process type matter in that it might need to be a bit more than 4 weeks, because we had our ward briefing tonight, so theoretically that'll be another month's time, and you'll probably need more than about an hour to write a report.
Can I have from staff a date of a meeting in about the closest one to about 6 weeks' time? Would that help you, Councillor Telfer, if we get a date? While we're getting that, sorry, there were a few other to contribute. Councillor Guard.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Your Worship if perhaps Councillor Telford could reply to Councillor Hull. I'm a little confused from the point of view of history as to what has transpired in the consultation to the various entities of the sport of tennis. I take it Councillor Telfer is satisfied that there has been enough consultation, and it was on that basis that I would support a forum item and then a definite decision from Council in a month's time.
Yeah, there was a recognition 5 years ago, longer than that, probably 6 years ago, that there needed to be a plan about which tennis courts and netball courts would be done up and which would stand aside. Gradually a few have been improved, but generally there hasn't been this sign-off. The report at the beginning of this year was quite comprehensive. The tennis and netball facilities report table, and it listed out those that obviously had energy around them and those that needed to be single courts and set aside. And there is one that we're going to debate later tonight that is of concern to people that will again make things clearer. But I don't believe, even if we have a list, that at least give staff an indication of where we're going, and instead of paying staff for 2 years to decide what's on the list, if we can have a basic broad list, then if there are proper consultation of those groups at a appropriate time. But I know of at least two or three groups that have the money. We had one last meeting that have come to us with money, with support, looking for community partnership. There are others. Surely we should be getting on and doing those, not saying come back in 2 years.
Yes, thank you. Look, I think that there are still some issues in play, and that's why I think it's important to have the have some time out on that. I also like to acknowledge that whilst we may give some direction, the staff are still going to have to go carry that out, and they'll do some of those consultation process and provide some feedback. And through more of that intense discussion, we may have some information brought to light, which staff could bring to us, and then that could mean that we need to reconsider what is chosen and how we approach it. There are groups out there that do want to get things done. There are some groups in limbo, which means that they're not able to move forward. So if we make some decisions, then that'll be good. I think there are some issues that are pretty easy, like ones that we would definitely would keep and definitely wouldn't.
And I am disappointed that we don't have that. I think what we really need from our reports is not just the strategy and the process, but also some outcomes put into that, and put into that quite early in the piece. Now, I would like to acknowledge that the group, the staff working on this, have had various challenges over the last few years, and there's some ongoing issues, some challenges that they've had to deal with. So this group is quite busy. I would like to acknowledge that and appreciate the work that's been done, and also the work to improve improvement opportunities have been addressed that perhaps weren't addressed in previous years.
Yes, I'm a little bit cautious, or not so cautious, perhaps. I don't really want to wait on occasions, and I think this is just one of those occasions where elected members are from the community, and at times we do have some local knowledge, and it's obvious that certain things need to be done. I certainly understand staff's caution in following due process and being cautious, because that's their job, but I think on this occasion we should march forward, and we are actually the ones that should be taking any risk, if there is any risk, but I think it's so minimal here it's not worth talking about. I don't really want a whole lot of more reports. I want to actually get on with it. Thanks.
I've moved a motion that I've emailed through to Jamie and Kate, and it just, so I hope it's come through. It suggests deferral, and in it I said May meeting, but we can change that to June the 14th. Have you received? The list, but I've got a sentence or two in front of it saying I suggest deferral for consideration during ward briefings, and that that it come back on June the 14th. Now we're suggesting.
We're back in the 20th century. It needs to be typed up. Notwithstanding the fact that emails exist. While that's happening, just informally... Oh, no, I'll take a question from Councillor Crossland.
So my question is, obviously, June the 14th, just want to clarify, if we make a decision on June the 14th, does that still give us time in the budget to decide which projects we're going to fund and not fund? Because I thought we had to do that in the end of May.
Bearing in well, Mr. Mitchell?
Through the chair, that's still possible. Ideally, we'd like to have things locked away by the end of May, but it's certainly possible that if council makes a decision on the 14th of June, that it will be incorporated in the budget.
Second question, then,
Councillor Crossland.
So, whatever the outcome of this motion is, how would that affect another motion to actually bring forward the low-hanging fruit, which we asked staff to do many months ago, the obvious ones, and get those dealt with by council off the table so we can actually move forward with the obvious clubs that are actually staying?
Well, perhaps I could ask either Mr. Skull or one of the managers that if this sort of motion with specific ports and so on is passed, does council... I mean, I suppose how prescriptive does council need to be to get some early action, or do we simply give the list to staff? I mean, the management can see that there's some impatience among the elected members to get something done, something actually achieved, that's the question. Do we need to be more prescriptive, or do we leave it with you to take this on and get some early results.
Through you, Chair, I'm hearing the desire to actually get some rubber on the road on this. I would think that it'd be sufficient for us to actually discuss those low-hanging fruit by ward and bring it together by the 14th with some indicative costing. I'm not sure whether those low-hanging fruit would be to dispose of or be to rebuild, and so we would need to get an idea of cost, but I would think that it would be sufficient enough for us to put it in the budget for the next financial year to actually take some action.
Yeah, just to give you a heads up on that, we were asked it the very same question in January. We did discuss it at a ward briefing. We indicated each ward roughly can have 9 tennis courts. We discussed which ones we would want to keep and which ones we'd want to remove. Both the Southern Hills and Coastal ward actually went down to 6 tennis courts, so we're happy for the 3 extras from both wards to go to the other areas to relieve that problem. So we're ready to go well below the 9 we were asked to do. With netball, we're already 4 under, so it's not a difficult decision. If you've only got 4 out of the 8 by population you're supposed to have, it's not a big decision, but the merry-go-round keeps going, and we've got people that are struggling for facilities, and really it's very difficult to actually give them an answer when it's quite clear that they're the clubs that are going to have to stay because they're already got facilities which aren't big enough.
Well, that can just be taken as a point for management to consider. While we're waiting, Councillor Hull?
Process, as suggested by the administration. So two questions. The rationale for this process, just a brief summary. And two, is there any consequence to this that we're not aware of as elected members with our strategic focus on tennis and netball?
Ms Dixon.
Through the Chair, the report, in terms of engaging, the reason the recommendation to engage with the peak bodies is they've got a vested interest in the clubs being sustainable. So we see them as a partner in terms of working with the clubs to get on board in terms of, if there's clubs that need to merge or changes to facilities, that it would actually work well for council to be working with their peak bodies as well. The program outlined in the report, and I appreciate members want to proceed, and there are things that probably could proceed before next financial year, but there are some unknowns. We haven't had this conversation with the clubs concerned, so when we do go out with these changes, council may receive feedback that the clubs have a different perspective. So that's the reasoning behind the program that's outlined in here. In terms of the funding, there are some unknowns about what funding we do need, because we do need to do that analysis of both the conditions of the courts, the surface as well, and the report recommended that we get a contractor to do that assessment. The assessment we've done to date is very high level, which is really just staff going out and doing a visual assessment of the site, so we haven't assessed the substructure. We also would want to look at the building condition audit that Council's just received to look at the state of the club room facilities if we're increasing that as well. There is also the opportunity as that funding becomes, we understand what the costs are, that Council could also look at using the CFPP reserve to fund this work, and that could occur in the next financial year as well.
Councillor Telfer, I'm just suggesting a tiny bit of massaging of the wording.
Aye. Sorry, it's plural.
And I was going to suggest to allow for consideration at ward briefings of the following proposed list of tennis and netball courts.
Yeah. And would I suggest that at 4 Woodford South Park, you take out the Mitchell Park tennis court there, because that will be discussed later tonight and also during ward
take
briefing.
Take out the brackets altogether?
Yeah, take that bracket out. It's only going to muddy the waters.
If we're just talking about wording, but remember that this is, it's been moved, not seconded yet, so I'm very conscious of that. Councillor Croston?
May I answer Councillor Hall's question?
Well,
he didn't get
I
the
suppose...
answer he was after. The answer was about grant funding, and I don't think it was included.
Why not? Go ahead.
The answer to that is no, Tennis SA are not interested in too much what we're doing. In fact, they wrote and pushed Hallett Cove Beach Tennis Club to apply for additional funds from Sport and Rec, and Tennis SA actually put $13,000 of their own money to prevent the Hallett Cove Tennis Club basically crumbling away. So we were taking too long for them, so they actually helped Hallett Cove Beach to write that report and supplied funding.
I might just add that, I mean, last year I did hear that Tennis SA were not interested in this process of rationalising courts. They didn't want to make hard decisions about their own club members. On the other hand, we have a different obligation because it's to the broader community and the ratepayer dollars that are invested in all of those facilities, as well as to the clubs who are our tenants, as well as to those who wish to aspire to play tennis and be healthy. So we have that balancing consideration, unlike Tennis SA. Hold on, we've got Councillor Telfer to move. I'll just check if it's seconded. Councillor Byron. So I go back to the mover. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Even though we have budget and we want to put this in the budget context, we do have our Asset Sustainability Community Partnership Fund, which is an asset. And so that resource is there waiting for some structure. So I'm hopeful that during the next year, 16-17, we can at least work on supporting those clubs that want to go forward, that we conscientiously look at this list, and if I've got it wrong, yes, pull it out at ward briefing, change it. When we come back on the 14th of June, we'll be in a position to have a much more concrete discussion which informs people where we want to go, rather than going to each club and saying, what do you want? What I'm scared of is when we've gone out and asked clubs what they want and they dream the world, then we say, ah, but that costs too much, we can't do it. So we know where the pressures are for sports facilities. So I hope we go ahead and we supply them.
Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Worship.
Yes, it's time for us to move forward with the tennis and netball courts. And although we're deferring this motion to the 14th of June, this, looking at it in ward briefings, will allow us to move forward and to be able to take some action during this next financial year. So I really commend that we really, in our ward briefings, do work on this and bring it back on that date in June. Thank you.
Speaking against the motion, Councillor Blescu.
What I don't like about this motion, I agree we need to move forward, and I do agree we need to have we need to actually get something happening. So that's not the problem. The problem I have is we've been given this list, and I don't think the list should be part of the motion. Maybe it's something for us to consider, but I don't think it should be part of the motion, because as soon as there's something in black and white, everyone who's not mentioned on there is going to start getting on the phone and getting in contact with us and saying, what's going on? And so I think that we're better off just looking at it without any prescriptive list, because That's my view. I guess also, I just ask the mover and the seconder if they're happy for a small amendment to the motion, if we can just move up a bit. Thank you. Instead of, in the second part where we talk about for a planned population, the last sentence, budget to those clubs offering access to, instead of matching grants, access to grants under the community partnership program. Because if we get a club coming in with $55,000 and they need $120,000 and they ask us for $65,000 and we can't offer it. So I think access to, I think council at the time may decide to give a bit more about that matching, but I think matching is too prescriptive. So if the mover and second are happy to...
I'll test that.
Is the mover...
And second it? Well, just bear in mind that the list is now out there, so it's already in play, I suspect. But in terms of the reference to matching, that would now be access to...
Yes.
So is there leave of the meeting for that amendment? Sorry, no, it wasn't an amendment. It was a suggestion which the mover and seconder adopted, can only be done by leave of the meeting. Does anyone object?
There is an objection.
So it can only be done by an amendment. So the call is still with you, Councillor Valesky.
Oh, well, I'm happy to move an amendment just in regards to those couple of words.
Very well. The words are up on the screen. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland. According to the Appleby Doctrine, we now vote on the amendment. Sorry, did you wish to speak to the amendment, Councillor Crossland?
I was just going to suggest before it's moved and whether also there could be a change to the first line that says the item be deferred to the 14th of June 2016 General Council meeting or earlier, if possible, if we can... Maybe discuss it at a forum or something, so not be prescriptive on
order. Councillor, you're only meant to be speaking to the amendment, but you're in
suggestion,
making a suggestion which the mover and seconder may wish to adopt, right? In the course of your speaking.
But I'm proposing to be the seconder with that small amendment.
But, sorry, did you not raise your hand to second the Valesky amendment?
I did.
You did. And in doing so, you have the right to speak to the substantive motion. In fact, it's your only opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there a point of order?
There is, Your Worship. The mover and seconder can amend the motion, but they need leave of the meeting. So
we're
leave does not have to be unanimous. Just because Councillor Hull objected, we should have had a vote and then... Chances are it would have been approved and they could have amended it. It didn't need to go to
a... No, I'm not having a vote on seeking leave. I'm following parliamentary procedure, and because there are going to be multiple amendments, I'm taking a very technical view of the matter.
But Your Worship, I think section...
Point of order is overruled. You may... Unless I'm advised otherwise by the governance manager immediately. I'll take advice. Well, I'm not getting advice either way from the... Very well. I've taken further advice. Leave of the meeting refers to a majority, and accordingly I'll put the matter to a vote. The question is, should the... mover and seconder be allowed to vary the motion to allow reference to access to the grants fund rather than a matching amount from the grants fund as outlined by Councillor Valesky. All those in favour of allowing that, raise your hand. All those not in favour of allowing it, raise your hand. Leave of the meeting is granted for the mover and seconder to incorporate that change. It is not an amendment, so the point of order is successful, and thus the amendment which I had taken from Councillor Valesky should not be on the record.
and Councillor Wescoe finished his contribution, and the call is now with Councillor Crossland. You wished, Councillor Crossland, to suggest a further variation of the mover's wording?
No, thank you. We'll move on.
Did you wish to speak any further? Are there speakers for or against? Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I was speaking against the motion, particularly if that list of clubs are going to stay. I didn't want to see it removed because I think people have a right to know what the real agenda is. You know, like you go and put a list out there at a public meeting and then, because we might cause concern, we'll take it away from the public eye.
It troubles me, that approach.
That's a holdfast bay approach in some ways. I think that I never really did get an answer to my question about the funding. And I am all the wiser for going to that meeting with the Warradale Park Tennis Club, with Sean O'Brien, Tennis Australia and Tennis SA. I think that it would be concerning to those entities if they listened to this recording to suggest that they would be unhelpful. Councillor Crosland's actually comments that they chipped in to save the club down there actually runs in the face of that argument, that Tennis Australia and Tennis SA are willing to take an interest. And I think there's shortcomings here from a strategic point of view that we... In the money that you might think you're saving on the $110,000 from a staff member and the amount of money that we might not get through that interface with the peak bodies could be overshadowed that greatly. I don't know whether the chief executive has had any experience at this point in time with those peak bodies. I would love it if Sean O'Brien was here tonight, because I'd be asking him that question point blank. Because I think it's an answer that we deserve to know as a board. We need to know where our opportunities are. We need to know whether they can assist us to get a better strategic focus on where the club should be. Because with the Warradale Park Tennis Club, if you come back to our ward briefing, what Nathan and I was going to say was, what do we tell this club? They've asked us to actually look at helping them financially to improve their amenity, but behind with the bay, there's this discussion with peak bodies and everything else about maybe there's a better place for them to be. And fair enough. I'd like to know, and I think it's only fair to that club, that they know as well. Because, you know, I really think, regardless of what happens here tonight, the chief executive officer should make contact with those peak bodies and say, look, fellas, there was this discussion here tonight. I would really like to know what opportunities there are for the City of Marion in terms of what you can actually offer, not only in financial support, but also in technical support as well, in regards to the demographics of our city, where tennis and netball should go. Well, not so much netball, because they're tennis, but, you know, you got the picture. But because I think we need that assistance. And, you know... I'm really reluctant to throw the baby out with the bathwater. When I see a report, even though it didn't have a good executive summary, it wasn't sold well, Mr. Chief Executive. I don't think the administration sold this packaged up well at all. To throw that out and dismiss it, because we don't think that action's happening within our council term. You know, not everything has to happen within your council term.
It often doesn't.
But if you actually start putting the cobblestones in place where you can walk the road to get that particular outcome, that's the way to go.
If I can go back to Councillor Hull's question, Chair, I think that you were asking if there's going to be a consequence if we go ahead in the proposed method path that we're going down, whether there'll be a consequence to grant funding. I assume what you mean by that is, will we not get grant funding without actually going through the process that we've singled out? My answer to that is that we would be very foolish, and we're not, to go down any process that doesn't actually inform and get the opinion of the peak bodies. And so whatever process we follow, they'd be involved, and we'll be talking with them. Whether it's an ambitious program of change is going to lead to a consequence that we won't get funding, I would say that if we're going to be doing a lot, there's a good chance that we won't get a lot, because their pool of money is limited like everybody else's. So I think the answer to your question, I've answered this in a roundabout way, is yes. I think if we're asking for a lot of money to do a lot of courts, there's a good likelihood we won't get matching funding. But the answer to the other part of the question is definitely we would be involved in working with them in partnership, because that would be really short-sighted, myopic, if we didn't do it.
And I certainly wouldn't want my earlier remarks to be misunderstood either. Although I do believe, from what I've heard last year, that Tennis SA is reluctant to be involved in the decision-making, there was, in principle, support, I understand, from them for the notion that the dysfunctional and weakest clubs and premises in terms of membership and players need to go, so that further funds can be put in to the successful clubs in terms of players and self-funding and so on, so that the stronger clubs get even stronger, and some of the smaller clubs where community access is very limited or where there's very little potential for development of tennis players go by the wayside. And it's that seemed to suit their agenda. But in terms of picking which clubs was which, that's what I was saying before, that there seemed to be no interest in helping us out making the tough decisions.
That with our recent outlook about playgrounds, where you make bigger and better playgrounds, people will come, you know, further afield to go there, it's a destination. I think we can actually almost apply a similar outlook towards netball and tennis. If you take my drift on this.
Point taken. Your time is up, but thank you. Are there any speakers now in favour of the motion? Then I'll give Councillor Telfer the right reply to close the debate.
I bring this list out of the facilities report list. It is quite a clear list, and I added on the single and double courts that were suggested in this report. So I have tried to do this without fear or favour. My attempt was to at least not spend the next 2 years talking, but to objectively say, what can we do now over the next 5 budgets or so to actually get material on the ground, courts that exist for players, resources for players. And I am very sure that extraordinarily large clubs are going to be extraordinarily difficult for community groups to run. It was with that context that I believe our 6 and 8 court clubs have shown that they are viable, that they have the volunteers and energy to lead them, otherwise they'd be empty courts. So it's because these clubs know how, as volunteers, to put in energy and work, that we want to go forward and support them in appropriate ways as soon as possible. So I'm keen that we do, and I'm certainly keen that by the 14th of June we have some structure and that we use our asset sustainability community partnership money to do good in the community.
All those in favour of the motion, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried. Division is called. For those who support the motion, please stand in your place. In the affirmative, Councillor Kerry, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Byram, Councillor Gard, Councillor Crossland. You just remain standing a moment, please. Those against, Councillor Pfeiffer, Councillor Pryor, Councillor Hull, Councillor Valescu, Councillor Appleby. The motion is passed. Thank you. We turn to page 49. This was a barking dog petition. When the matter came to council, we queried the reasons for staff dropping the matter, and we've still, on this occasion, we've had further detail, which you may well think is sufficient. The motion recommended is that you note the report. Does someone wish to move? Moved, Councillor Vlescu. Seconded, Councillor Appleby. Any discussion? All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you.